Now, setting up a new home can be quite a challenge. Setting up utilities, perhaps getting internet installed, central heating, everything's a bit of a challenge. Even getting to know the area can be a challenge. But this challenge can be really magnified if you add sight loss into the equation. Now, Paul Quigley, he lives with a condition called retinitis pigmentosa and recently fully lost his sight and has been setting up a new home. And Paul joins us now. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Well, thanks. And we've chatted a bit and you've had some trials and tribulations, haven't you?
I certainly have. And absolutely, when it comes to utilities, particularly, which we're going to talk about today, it's been a unique challenge. And yes, I'd love to share some of my experiences with the listeners.
So we're going to talk about today setting up perhaps your energy provider. How straightforward is that when you're going into a new home?
Well, in my particular case, I found it incredibly difficult. I won't name the company because it could have been anybody, but the one I happened to have was where I bought a house after a divorce. So I actually moved into a property which, when you buy a house, you don't ordinarily check out what type of meters one has in the meter. I had assumed, and this is the big key word, assumed, the assumption was that it was a standard meter. Well, I had the nightmare scenario coming into a property to live on my own, and it was prepaid. And then all suddenly I realized, oh my God, I've never had a prepay in my life. What do? I don't want these things out. It was just like spawn of Satan in my house. Ah, get these things out because I just can't deal with tokens. I mean, I hear that you have to troll off to a shop. I've never done anything like it. So I was on the phone immediately. And fortunately, my nephew was up from the Midlands. He doesn't have RP. And he was able to get to a local corner shop and procure one of these tokeny things. And it's a bit like a top-up of some sort. You have to procure cash out of it. It's all sort of cash-based and come back with these things and stick it in and know where to stick it in these. It was a visual and complete nightmare for anyone. Had I been on my own, I would have been probably without power within hours. I didn't know how much credit was left on these damn things. It was quite, honestly, I could wax lyrical for a long time about this, Simon. We don't have time. It was an emotional, I actually burst into tears when my sister arrived, and like she was my elder sister, and it seemed like my big sister turned up, and I just lost it. I just lost the plot. I just completely, because I hadn't planned for this one thing. I thought I planned for it. I'd got removals ready. I'd got, you know, everything else sorted out, you know, with solicitors, blah, blah, blah. But one thing I thought was being without power, without electric, without gas, I just thought, I can't deal with this. And no one had told me, and I just felt like, who can I point the finger at? Can I blame the estate agents? And it's kind of one of those things where they're, we didn't know. And I just thought, I just thought, Lord almighty. So I just thought the hassle of going through getting things, and it was, and I mean, maybe for another show I can tell you about how that procedure went, which the battle then with the utilities to actually get these things removed. That is a story in itself. But yeah, the initial shock of finding yourself in that predicament on your own where you this thing, I'm going to get caught short, and then you learn how to do it, and it isn't easy, and it's a nightmare, quite honestly, Simon.
Did you find the companies were quite supportive of you, or the company that you approached?
Yes and no is the actual honest answer, in that once you'd explain to them this predicament, they kind of say, well, if it's your property, do you have a landlord, they ask you, and you say, no, I bought it. Oh, well, it's kind of your responsibility, then you should have known. It's like, and then so you get onto the estate agents and you go, how come you didn't tell me? Oh, we didn't know. We weren't told by the previous owner. I mean, this is obviously where you're talking about home ownership. When it's come to rental, it would be an entirely different scenario. I would imagine people probably would know or expect to have a prepay with maybe a flat. But with a house, you don't expect it. Now, the provider, they were, when they initially explained, listen, I am registered blind, I found myself in this situation, I wasn't made aware that this was the case, they understand. But then you just sit in a queue. You sit in a queue with every other able-bodied driving person who can get to prepay meters with cars and art vision, and they can get there. You sit in the back of the queue with that lot. So you're waiting for anyone else so that you get no preferential treatment. And I was abhorred because I know that there is what they call the law. Ofgem have set up a scheme called something called the Priority Services Register, and all utility companies have to provide priority services to vulnerable groups, which obviously includes sight loss people. This is probably information for another program, but I won't go into too much depth on this one. But basically what it means is that you are slightly given preferential treatment and they know you're vulnerable, but not when it comes to meter removals or up changing out of a given situation like I found myself in. You just have to sit in the queue. What the priority services register, PSR for short, and they're all supposed to have one, whether it's, you know, water companies, electricity companies, gas companies, is they'll let you have like a watchword. If you have somebody come around to read a meter, they'll read out a password so that you know it's not a bogus caller. You can ask for things like standard format letters can be provided in audio CD or braille, that sort of thing. And that's done by a lot of companies. That's not sort of preferred. That is the law now, as we all know, with the Equalities Act and the Disability Discrimination Act. We should expect those things because it is the law. Now, when it comes to extra special treatment for when you can't see anything and you're on your own, you're on your own, literally, because they don't have a contingency plan. And this is part of where I then went into campaign mode with a particular given company, because I just thought this can't be allowed to happen. People in my situation can't be allowed. They do need to be bumped up the list to be a seen to immediately, or at least within, you know, 48 hours, because they can't be expected to cope with when they can't see to get to a local shop, or they just can't be expected to. It's discrimination, effectively, Simon. And I was furious. And yes, I did get some voices within the company that could see the predicament, but they didn't have any procedures in place. And I said, right, we're going to have to escalate this. And we did. I escalated it. And eventually we got some satisfaction in basically what do I mean by that? I got some of the dates brought forward to, instead of it being 6 weeks away or 4 to 6 weeks away, oh, it'll be these so many working days, blah, blah. And that was even a guesstimate. I got some very nice people get onto the subcontractors, because they took a lot of this work is subcontracted out. They don't do it themselves, to see if they could jump up the job list of people that they'd send out to actually do the work, etc. Again, hit and miss, because there was no guarantees in place. They just it was an altruistic gesture rather than anything else. And to be fair, there was a couple of gentlemen and ladies within a certain given provider who were incredibly supportive and did do the legwork for me in the background and went above and beyond. And I wrote to the chief executive of that said company and expressed my complete and utter admiration for those humane people who were prepared to do that. And yet it wasn't part of their corporate social responsibility policy, whereas it should have been, in my view. So yes, it was an absolute battle. These things, of course, I was on the phone for hours on hours on end, because you sit in queues endlessly. When you get passed from one department to another, you sit there in another queue and you go back to the beginning again. You know what it's like when you ring up these call centers. So yes, it was been an absolute, it's been a trial by fire, and it's been an ordeal to actually get through. But you have to do it. Plan B is sitting in cold. And this was through the February cold snap, when we had that ridiculous beast from the east come whisking in from Siberia. And I wasn't prepared to sit there, but I had to. I mean, most of the time I had no hot water. I had no heating on. My sister had to procure a couple of electric fan heaters. And I was using kettles to wash any crocks up. It was quite, honestly, it's like living in a third world country for a couple of weeks there, just because there was no contingency for people in vulnerable groups. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I just felt, I can't believe it. It's like living in bloody, you know, it's like something like a Twilight Zone with Rod Serling. You know, I couldn't believe it. But yes, there I was.
Look, before you explode, Mr. Quigley.
I'm not going to explode now because I'm on the other side. I've got hot water, thank God. But the time I was. Yeah, I'm just reliving it for you people to know. Don't, whatever you do when you buy a house, ask what sort of meters you get. Whatever you do, just check it and then get the ball rolling before you move in.
Right, we're running out of time. But what I was going to say is, one of the things when you're approaching these companies, the way you approach them as well can make a difference, can't it? Even though you're frustrated, it doesn't really always bode well if you go in with that attitude when you talk to these people.
Never. You're exactly right. It never works. You have to keep your cool, because they do want to help you. There's a bit of the old computer says no mentality, because they are certainly limited in some of, you know, one job description of the person you first hit when you hit the call center. They don't have the power or the capacity to press the magic button and make it all go right. They do have to move it to their line manager, who then has to talk to their line manager. And there is some escalation of what they tend to call it a complaints procedure. Even though I did say to them, listen, I'm not complaining as such. I want you to improve your process. This is about process improvement rather than on quality of service rather than a complaint. But they don't seem to have that. They just seem to have complaints or nothing. So it's lodged as an official complaint. It then seems to take on its own bit of traction there, where it tends to have sort of a case officer attached to it to sort of resolve it. But that can take weeks. I mean, I've got a few air quotes complaints going on, which are to do with that prepay. And it's just all to do with, oh, you know, have we got the meter reading from you yet? And I thought, well, why are you asking me that? You know, you send people around to do the meter. Don't expect me to see. I can't see anything, can I? And I had one yesterday. Oh, Mr. Quigley, can you just take a JPEG of the meters, because we've got a bit of a delay. I said, what are you talking about? Well, can you just take a photo of the meter? I said, I can't see to do anything like that. I said, you've had your people come around already and they've already taken readings. Why are you asking me now? Oh, have we? I mean, they're just the right hand and the left hand half the time don't know what they're doing. So you're battling that. So yes, and the answer is you do. You have to keep your cool and you have to be completely methodical and totally logical, and you've got to remember dates and names. So always ask for names, no matter how boring it is. Just ask to say, can you say, oh, can I get your name, please? Even if it's just a CSR, a customer service rep on the phone, grab their name, because it can often help if you say, oh, I've just spoken to so-and-so, because a lot of the time you get cut off. Sometimes the line will drop and you have to ring back in, and it's a bit like on a Monopoly board or snakes and ladders, should I say. You go back to the beginning and go, hello, who's that? And you have to go through security and read out your name, what your date of birth, postcode, blah, blah, blah. So always grab a name. Just say, I was just on the phone to insert that name, and they go, oh, right. Okay. And then it can save you a bit of time, because you have to have the patience of a saint. And yes, you've got to be very balanced and very measured and very calm and quiet, and eventually just trust in some spirit god or whatever that you believe in that you'll get through. And yeah, it isn't easy, but you have to keep cool. Once you start ranting and raving, you might as well just give up, because they won't listen. They won't, what would you? I wouldn't. I wouldn't listen to anyone shouting at me, because I always said to you, listen, I know it's not you. I know it's not your fault, but, and then you carry on and they kind of win them over. And that's how you proceed. And that's the same with anything in life. I would say it's not just utility companies, Simon, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the moral of this story is to be prepared then before you move or you're thinking of moving, check something like this out beforehand, and then you can start the ball rolling in advance. Paul Quigley, always a pleasure and an experience chatting with
you. Thank you, Simon.
We'll catch up with you in a couple
of
weeks.
Absolutely. All the best now. Thanks to everybody.